Welcome back to Case Closed, your weekly hour of mystery from RelicRadio.com. We'll begin this time with the adventures of Sam Spade and hear his story from August 15th, 1948, titled The Critical Author Caper. After that, it's Let George Do It and The Spirit World. That episode aired May 10th, 1948.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective. Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
It's only me from over the sea.
Oh, Sam, how was it at the beach?
Same as always, foggy.
Did you go in?
Well, I was up to my neck from the first rumble. If you mean did I go in the water, I did.
Was it cold?
I didn't notice. I was too busy landing a corpse.
Oh, Sam, what a coincidence.
Hmm?
I was just reading my new library book.
Yeah.
And it's all about a body in the water, pushed over a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a strangest girl in it with a strange mother.
Biggest.
And she drinks, the girl, and runs away with a chauffeur. That rich people.
They can't do that. They're stealing my material.
Oh, no, Sam, no. It's by Owen Fitzstephen. He's very well thought of. Mother always understands his plot.
Not tonight, she won't. Stay where you are, Angel. I'll be right down to dictate my report on the critical author caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. You know as well as I do, fellas, your hair is one of the first things any gal notices. So it's really important to keep your hair spruced up right all the time. The answer? Why, of course, Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose, ugly dandruff. I have a hunch, fellas, she'll help herself to another look if you're using Wild Root. Get Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic in bottles or the handy new tube. It's again and again the choice of men who put good grooming first. Later in this program, we'll have an important announcement. Listen for it. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in the adventures of Sam Spade.
I'm looking over the phone.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah, come on in. Let's get this over.
Can you wait till I finish this chapter?
Hmm?
There's a page to go. The detective had just found this girl in a sordid rooming house.
Mm-hmm.
He had this fight with her boyfriend and boinged him.
Boinged him?
And now butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. But I don't trust her.
What's the name of the book?
Morgue Fruit.
Morgue Fruit.
His last was A Spindly Stiff.
Mm-hmm.
That was about this neurotic nurse who was in love with her employer.
Effie, how long have you been reading this kind of trash?
What's not trash, Sam? Well, he really makes his characters live.
Mm-hmm.
And I love his detective. He's real hard-boiled, like in Dashiell Hammett.
Dashiell Hammett? Mark your place and come in.
All right, sir.
Oh, dear, dear. Ready?
Yes, Sam. Oh, I can hardly wait.
That's the way I like you, eager.
To finish the chapter, I mean.
Please.
I wonder what she's up to. She's guilty, of course.
Of course, but what of?
You can read it when I'm finished. Oh, my goodness, we've got a report to get out, and here we are chattering about books. Date, August?
I will give the date.
Yes, Sam.
Date? Fill it in. To Missing Persons Bureau, San Francisco Police. Attention, Sergeant Schwartz from Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject, Gabriel Leggett. Dear Dave, I should have handed it over to you at the start, but you know me, I'm greedy. I cashed the check she'd sent me as a retainer without consulting my better judgment. Gave the money to Effie to pay bills without batting an eye. Borrowed a dime car fare from the corner newsboy without collateral. And arrived in front of the Leggett Mansion on Knob Hill without the foggiest notion of what I had been retained for.
I'm Gertrude Leggett, Mr. Spade. It's about my stepdaughter, Gabrielle. She's been missing since the funeral.
Whose funeral was that, Mrs. Leggett?
My husband, Gabrielle's father. That was nearly 3 weeks ago. She came to me afterwards and said she was going down to Quesada, to our country place, for a few days. That she wanted to be alone with her grief. But I discovered that she never arrived at Quesada. Do I make myself clear, Mr. Spade?
Yeah, except for one thing. Why do you want her back?
First, she may do something to disgrace me. She'll undoubtedly try her best to do so. Secondly, unless I get her signature to some papers, in accordance with her father's will, I can't go on living in this house. Furthermore...
That's okay. You've convinced me. Now, when she left, what did she take with her?
Just one piece of light luggage and her liquor case, of course. She drinks, you know. Well, it's not my place to disapprove. I merely thought it might help you to know.
Well, we could case all the bars in town, but it'd take a lot of time and a lot of money, besides them on the wagon.
Well, you might talk to Eric, my chauffeur. He drove her to the station, or says he did.
Where do I find him?
Let's see. 10 o'clock. He'll be loitering down the hall, somewhere in the neighborhood of the linen closet, helping the upstairs maid fold the sheets. I'd knock first if I were you and avoid embarrassment.
Thanks for the tip. Oh, mind if I have a look at your stepdaughter's room?
Eric will give you the key. I'm not allowed one.
Figures.
Oh, Eric, stop.
Oh, baby.
Excuse me, sir. Thank you for your kind assistance, Mr. Collins.
It's okay, Myrtle. Anytime. And, yes, sir.
You Eric?
Collinson. What can I do for you?
I'd like the key to Miss Gabrielle's room.
You the law?
Why? You expecting some?
The old lady's been threatening the yell cop.
She decided to whisper instead.
Oh, private dick.
You catch on fast, lover boy.
Okay, I'll let you in her room. Come on.
Mrs. Leggett says you drove Gabrielle to the station.
She says that, does she?
Isn't that what you told her?
I'm not telling you what I told anyone.
Suit yourself.
After you.
Mm-mm.
What's eating you?
Nothing at all. Just want some privacy.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm responsible.
Go help Myrtle. Give me those keys.
Oh, listen. You keep...
Hello.
Hi. Let me in. Don't have your license.
Her room was, shall we say, untidy. The mirrored dressing table was chipped around the edges, and Raines held a skelter across it between two polo pony bookends was a mess of books. 3 odd volumes of the Harvard 5-foot shelf... A horse breeder's gazette, and a bunch of detective novels. I picked one up and opened it to the title page. It was called Morgue Fruit, and it was by Owen Fitzstephen, author of The Corpulent Cadaver, The Spindly Stiff, and The Kiss-Off. It was autographed to the author's great and good friend, the late Edgar Leggett. The signature looked familiar, but it didn't look like a lead. Neither did anything else in the room. I started to unlock the door with the key on the ring I grabbed away from Eric, and the light caught the smooth side of a Christopher medal. It was engraved for Eric, Forever Gabby. When Forever Eric went off duty that night, he went across town. The trail ended at a crummy, broken-down rooming house out in the Fillmore. He let himself in with a key and climbed the stairs. I waited until he was out of sight. In more time than it takes to tell, the door cracked open and a nose that could only belong to a landlady raised it out at me. She was gumming a sensin.
What you want?
They get settled in all right?
They ain't nobody settling in on me.
Never touched me. You got me wrong, Mom. I meant the newlyweds. Did they raise the rent money all right?
Oh, them. Raise it and spend it. He's a Dick Smither.
Dick Smither.
Socks it up all day and throws a dead soldier out the window. And they call it a honeymoon. Who are you?
I'm her ex-husband, darling. I came to pay her the back alimony I owe.
Well, give it to me. I'll see she gets...
Oh, no, you don't.
No, now, don't you come pushing in here.
Quiet.
It's after hours. Don't allow callers in here after 10 o'clock. House rule.
Shut up.
Well, I don't...
What's their room number? Now, give it to me or I'll shake it out of you, darling.
212.
212.
And if it weren't for these new uppers, I'd let you try it.
Oh, is that what those are? Thank you, Grand Duchess Marie.
Smart Alec. No wonder you can't hang on to a woman.
You're so right.
You drove her to drink.
I did not.
Alimony's still good for you, young whippersnapper.
Who is it?
Western Union.
All right, let me... I told you to stay away. Now beat it.
What is it?
Look, Eric, I don't want any trouble, but I'm coming in.
Over my dead body.
Eric?
Get back in the room, Gabby. Now, look, I won't let you hurt her, so...
Now, look, Collinson, don't make me do it. I don't
wise.
Want to. Okay, I'm sorry.
Eric! Eric! Have you
you done to it?
Nothing a bucket of cold water can't cure. Sit down. I want to talk to you.
Who are you?
Sam Spade. I'm a private detective. Your stepmother hired me to find you.
Oh? You know why she wants to find me?
Do you?
She wants to kill me. To kill my father. Now she'll kill me.
Can you prove that?
My father never had a day's illness in his life. He could drink 3 quarts of brandy in any evening. Do you believe a man like that could die of heart failure?
Frankly, I could.
Now she's starting the same kind of talk about me. She wants to railroad me to the insane asylum. Do I seem crazy to you?
No. A little nervous, maybe. This idea you have about your father's death. Talk some more, will you?
All right. I'll tell you the whole thing. But I gotta have a drink first. Hey, I can't get the top off. Give me a hand, will you?
Sure. You need a corkscrew for this one.
Yeah, I think there's one down there in the cupboard.
I don't see one.
Back in the corner. A little farther. There.
No, there's nothing in... Hey! Oh. I dreamed I was a character in a detective story. The title of the story was Morgue Fruit, and the author, a man named Fitz Stephen, was trying to figure out a way to turn me into a red herring before knocking off his number one suspect. I tried to tell him it's against the rules to make your detective a red herring, but he said it was a new kind of murder yarn, and it didn't matter anyway because there wasn't even a victim. That's what he thought.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. Here's important news on good grooming. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. Remember, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil contains lanolin. And here's the announcement we promised you. Now you can get Wild Root Cream Oil, America's leading hair tonic, in a generous new 25-cent size on sale at all drug and toilet goods counters. It's also available in larger economy bottles and the handy new tube. Get Wild Root Cream Oil again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. By the way, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil too, and mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. And now, back to the critical author caper. Tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
When I came to, it had came the dawn, and I was still a character in a detective story, and I felt more like a red herring than I had in my dream. I had dragged myself across my own trail and wound up no place. My quarry had fled, leaving nothing behind but empty bottles with fingerprints on them. I lifted the few and hustled over to the Bureau of Identification. Half an hour later, I got the report. They were mine. All mine. I wondered what a detective novelist would make of that. I decided to find out. I had met Owen Fitzstephen several years back in Seattle when I was digging dirt on a chain of fake mediums. He was plowing the same field for literary material, and we pooled forces. I got more out of the combination than he did, since he knew the spook racket inside out. I cleaned up my job in a couple of weeks, and we parted friends. His San Francisco apartment was on the 6th floor of the St. Mark. He was standing at its door, holding out a lean hand to greet me when I got there.
Well, you're looking fit, Sam. Little red in the face.
Yes, the red herring I ate last night. How's the literary grip go?
You haven't been reading me?
No, where'd you get that funny idea?
Oh, there was something in your tone, as in the voice of one who has bought an author for a couple of dollars. I suppose you're still hounding the unfortunate evildoer?
Yeah, that's how I happened to look you up. You autographed a book for Edgar Leggett.
Oh, yes, yes. Morgue Fruit. Distressingly prophetic.
What do you know about that family?
Oh, what have they been up to now?
How well you know the girl, Gabrielle?
Well, quite well, since she's a duplicate of her father. She has brains, but there's something black in her. Something she doesn't want to think about, but can't forget. She's a neurotic who keeps her body sensitive and ready, I don't know what for, while she drugs her mind with drink and lunatic notions. Yet she's cold and she's sane. If I had something I wanted to forget, I'd anesthetize my mind directly, leave my body stay strong and ready.
I hope you don't think any of this stuff means anything to me.
Oh, yes. I remember you now. You were always like that. Tell me what's up while I try to find one-syllable words for you.
You know the fellow that drives for him?
Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was released from Folsom in Leggett's custody when he was 18 years old. Murdered his father. Nice kid. What about him?
Mrs. Leggett hired me to find Gabrielle. I found her with Eric in a rooming house out in the Fillmore. She begged me to save her from her stepmother's murderous schemes, and then she knocked me cold.
Well, that's trivial, dull. I've been thinking of the Leggett family in terms of Dumas, and you bring me a piece of Jim Crackery out of O'Henry. If I were writing this, Gabrielle would kill her stepmother, or dupe Eric into doing it for her. Or, no, that won't do. Not sufficient motive. Murder has to have a motive, you know.
Why? She's insane, isn't she?
I wonder. Are you saying that carelessly, or do you really think she's off?
Well, I don't know. She's got a kind of a wild look about her. Her eyes shift from green to brown and back without ever settling on one color. How much have you turned up on her in your snooping around, Owen?
Are you who make your living snooping, sneering at my curiosity about people and my attempts to satisfy it?
No, we're different, Owen. I do mine with the object of putting people in jail, and I get paid for it, though not as much as I should.
But I do mine with the object of putting people in books, and I get paid for it, though not as much as I should.
Yeah, but what good does that do?
Well, what good does putting them in jail do?
Well, it relieves congestion. You put enough people in jail, and cities wouldn't have any traffic problems in this part.
Well, then all you have to do is to wait till one of them kills the other and put the survivor in jail. It's simple.
Yeah, but who's going to kill who?
Perhaps they both have plans, both Gabrielle and her stepmother. Looks as if you'd have to guard both of them.
I think I'll settle for my client. As far as Gabrielle's concerned, her husband ought to be able to watch out for her.
Her what?
Husband? She and Eric got married.
Oh. Well, now there you are. You didn't tell me anything about that. Lord knows how much else there is you haven't told me. Pardon me. Don't go away.
Telegram, sign here.
Thank you. There you are.
Thank you, sir.
Now, I wonder what... Good Lord, this is positively corny. Listen to this, Spade. I appeal to you as a friend of my dead husband. Come immediately, Sunset Hotel Quesada. Trouble. Danger. Do not communicate. Gabrielle must not know. Signed, Gertrude Leggett. Spade.
Yeah?
Did you have this wire sent to me as a prank?
I was just going to ask you if you sent it to yourself as a prank.
I have it.
Hmm?
The key to the whole thing. It's a red herring.
I didn't think Fitzstephen would be able to hold out very long against his professional curiosity, and I didn't imagine he thought I would. I caught the next bus for Quesada. Quesada is a one-hotel town pasted on the rocky side of a young mountain that slopes into the Pacific Ocean some 80 miles from San Francisco. I got there at 11-something that night, stepped down from the bus, and crossed the street to the Sunset Hotel.
All right, keep your shirt on.
Mrs. Leggett registered here?
What's your name?
Owen Fitzstephen.
Oh, she left a message for you. Said for you to wait right here and don't leave till she gets back.
Yeah, she say where she was going?
Oh, it's probably over visiting with her daughter and new son-in-law, new over through the cove.
How do you get there?
Well, you'd never be able to find it at night unless you went all the way around by the East Road.
Yeah,
Then, I'm sure, unless you knew the country.
Well, how do you get there in the daytime?
Well, you go down this street. You take the fork on the ocean side and follow that up along the cliff. Easily enough found in the daytime, but you never in the world.
The first time. So I waited until morning. Stupid me. I found the road out to the point, but it had never really been a road. The side of the ledge became steeper and steeper until the path was simply a narrow shelf on the face of the cliff. The cliff that sheared off 150 feet or more to ravel out into the ocean. A breeze from the general direction of China was pushing fog over the top of the cliff, making a noisy lather of seawater at the bottom. Rounding a corner where the cliff was steepest, I chucked my cigarette over the edge and watched it spin downwards. And that's when I saw it. to go waist-deep into the Pacific to lift the body. I got my hands under the armpits, found solid ground for my feet, and dragged it up beyond the high tide mark. It was Gertrude Leggett. Somebody came staggering down the beach to meet us.
She dead?
Yeah, Gabrielle, she's dead.
Oh, the witch is dead. Hey, take me back to town, will you? Buy me a drink, huh?
Sit down there. Sit down.
What's the big idea? Don't you know I'm sick?
Somehow I don't think you're that sick. I think you could make some sense.
Sense? That's a laugh. You don't know me. I've never been able to think clearly the way other people do. No matter what I try to think about, there's a fog that tries to get between me and it. You understand how horrible I can become going through life like
nuts.
That?
Nobody thinks clearly, no matter what they pretend. Thinking's a dizzy business. A matter of catching as many of those foggy glimpses as you can and fitting them together the best you can. Trouble with you is you've been enjoying your misery. You've been so busy trying to prove that you're nuts, it's a wonder you haven't really driven yourself nuts.
How do you know I haven't?
Because you're too anxious to admit it.
All right, I'm sane if you want it that way. I'm just evil. There's something black inside me.
What was that again?
Something black. Everybody knows that about my family. My father, too.
Who told you that?
I always knew it. They say my real mother killed herself. But I know better. I know how to open the drawer where she keeps the gun. Every day, Gertrude lies on Mother's bed, and we play killing the witch.
Yeah.
And she comes in the night and bends over my crib. And she's changed herself so she looks like Mother instead of the witch. But I know better, and I hold up the gun with both hands. It's very hard to pull with both hands. It's very hard to pull the trigger. But I must do it or the witch will eat me up. And then there's a big noise and red all over. And I can't get out. I can't get out.
Now listen to me. You were beginning to make some sense. Now don't run away from it. Gertrude was lying on your mother's bed. That's your stepmother?
Yeah. She was my nurse. She married father.
Not so fast. How old were you when your mother died?
Four. Four and a half.
Did your father know about the game with the gun?
No, I don't think so.
Did anybody?
Gertrude said I must never tell anyone, because they'd send me away. And I never did. Not till I grew up. I was with Owen Fitzstephen.
Yeah.
I had a lot to drink. I told him. After that, he began seeing Gertrude. And finally, my father died. But it didn't do her any good. Because Owen really loved me.
Now, watch it. Now, let's get this straight. You'll have to straighten it out again later on with a doctor to help you. This is to help me. When you were a little child, Gertrude taught you that killing the witch game to use you as a murder weapon against your mother. Then she filled you full of ideas of guilt and fear so you'd keep quiet about it. When you told the story to Owen, he blackmailed your stepmother into knocking off your father. That made you feel responsible for his death, too, so you ran away.
Now, Gertrude said I killed her, too.
You might, but I doubt it. Now, try and remember. Was Owen up here tonight?
I thought I heard his voice. But I hear voices sometimes. I'm hearing it again. Listen. Do you hear anything?
I didn't hear anything but the wind and the beat of the surf at first. But when I did hear the voice, I sent Gabby for a doctor before I investigated. He was pretty badly mangled in the rocks. He'd fallen nearly as far as he'd pushed Gertrude, but was still alive. I made him as comfortable as I could, and finally he opened his eyes.
Hello, Sam.
You messed yourself up good.
Yeah. No more rocks for me.
Not unless you make Alcatraz.
You know, I had half an idea when you came to see me in San Francisco that you were secretly nursing some exceptional, idiotic theory.
Thanks, Owen, but I never had any theory. The whole thing dropped into my lap.
Don't be too sure of that. Understand, at present, I admit nothing. Later on, if I'm forced to, the very number of my crimes will be to my advantage. On the theory that nobody but a lunatic could have committed so many.
Well, there's not so many. Only Gertrude, your co-author of the murder of the late Edgar Leggett.
Nonsense. Crimes and crimes dating from the cradle. Even literature shall help me.
Not your own books.
Why not? Didn't the critics agree that the spindly stiff bore all the marks of authorial degeneracy? The evidence on to save my sweet neck. And I shall wave my mangled body at them. A ruin whose crimes and high heaven have surely brought sufficient punishment upon it.
Yeah, you'll probably make a go of it. Legally, you're entitled to beat the jump if ever anybody was.
Legally? You mean insane? Tell me the truth, Sam. Am I?
I think that's what they'll say.
But that spoils everything. It's no fun if I'm really cracked. No fun at all.
Period and a report.
Well, it just goes to show, doesn't it?
Well, there you go again, Effie.
I mean, if anything like that happened in real life, you wouldn't believe it.
You mean if anything like that happened in fiction?
Oh, no. The author is never the guilty party.
Well, this author was.
But that's not fair. The author is never supposed to be guilty of...
You're right. You're right, Effie.
He shouldn't be even a suspect. Maybe a red herring, but...
Type that up, Effie.
Oh, all right, Sam. Anything else, Sam?
Yeah, phone the drugstore and order some red herring. I mean, some aspirin.
More and more folks are turning to famous Wild Root Cream Oil every day. Wild Root Cream Oil gives you all you ever dreamed of in a hair tonic. It grooms your hair neatly and naturally the way you like it, the way other people like it. What's more, Wild Root Cream Oil relieves dryness and removes loose, ugly dandruff. So join the millions with handsome hair. Tonight, or first thing tomorrow, ask at your drug or toilet goods counter for Wild Root Cream Oil. Also, ask your barber for a professional application. If you've never tried it before, get the generous new 25-cent bottle just introduced. It's Wild Root Cream Oil's Get Acquainted size, and once you've made the acquaintance of Wild Root Cream Oil, you'll find you've made a lifelong friend.
Come on in, Twinkletoes.
Well, here it is, Sam. And I like it even better than morgue fruit.
You did.
I mean, it's not so realistic. I like a romantic type story myself.
Lots of
atmosphere and psychology and those.
Oh, you've got to have those.
You really should be a writer, Sam.
You think so?
Of course, detective stories don't pay much.
No, that's true.
But if you write enough of them, and look at all the material you've got.
No good. Never do for fiction.
But, Sam, there's already that radio series, The Adventures of You-Know-Who, Sunday Night.
That's what I mean. I don't make a penny out of it.
Well, it's your own fault. Sam, I don't want to seem critical, but... if you played your cards right, you could have owned a piece of that show.
What? And follow Blondie? Go home, Effie.
I think I will, Sam. Just curl up with a good book.
All right.
I wonder who killed who.
Well, when you find out, don't let me know.
Oh, you know you can't wait.
Yeah, I can.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Loreen Tuttle is Effie. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tallman and Gil Dow. Musical direction is by Lud Gluskin, with score composed by Renee Garrigan. Join us again next Sunday when author Dashiell Hammett and producer William Spear join forces for another adventure with Sam Spade, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. This is Dick Joy reminding you to...
get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. It keeps your hair in trim. You see, it's non-alcoholic, Charlie. It's made with soothing lanolin. You better get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. Start using it today. You'll find that you will have a tough time, Charlie. Keeping all the gals away.
Hiya, Baldy.
Get Wild Root right on.
Away.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Standard of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West, invite you to Let George Do It. Another adventure of George Valentine.
Personal notice. If it's so fantastic you can do nothing about it yourself, then you've got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Dear Mr. Valentine, the writing and rewriting of this letter has proved one thing to me, that I can't find the words to convey my desperation. Somehow, in a way I can't explain, my life has been touched by evil. Pure, undiluted evil. There is something here too strange for me to comprehend. Something unworldly, almost.
Unworldly, almost. It is not only for my sake that I ask for your assistance, but for the continued sanity of my fiancé. Accept the enclosed check as a retainer, Mr. Valentine, and please call on me at once. And it's signed, Gilbert Dressler. Oh, this doesn't make sense, George.
Well, it makes enough sense to show that Gilbert Dressler is pretty panicky.
I know, George, but this something too strange to comprehend, unworldly. Sounds like he's having trouble with banshees.
Well, whatever his source of trouble, it's our source of income, Brooksy.
But how do people let themselves get into this kind of situation?
This kind of situation pays the rent. So let's go find out what's on Gilbert Dressler's unhappy mind.
In my 10 years on the desert, Mr. Valentine, I've witnessed events that would freeze the very marrow in your bones.
Yes, I'm not doubting your word, Mr. Dressler.
Terrifying
but...
events. Things that are only spoken about in whispers, behind locked doors.
Yes, but let's be a little more specific.
Magic. Voodoo, if you will. An evil beyond evil. They're right here in your own city.
But why are you hiring us?
Yes, Mr. Dressler. You mentioned something about a fiancée in your letter. What about her?
Yes, Gabrielle. I love her.
Oh, we're sure of that, Mr. Dressler, but you also wrote something about fearing for her continued sanity. What makes you think her sanity won't continue?
Margot.
Hmm?
Margot? What's that supposed to mean to me?
No, forgive me. I was referring to Madame Margot. She claims she's a medium. I claim she's a purveyor of black magic.
Well, now we're getting somewhere. You're trying to tell us Gabrielle, your fiancé, is somehow being influenced by this Madame Margot.
Yes.
How?
Why, she's taking all her money away from her.
Oh, how long has this been going on?
Since Gabrielle's mother, Mrs. Turner, died.
Oh, what happened?
Maddie Turner was cleaning her hunting rifle, and it went off. Very unfortunate. The sporting world lost a great devotee because of Mrs. Turner's accident.
All right, what do you want us to do?
Expose Madame Margot. That's what I want you to do.
Expose her?
Certainly. I've arranged for you to visit Madame Margot this very afternoon. Here, this is her card. And tonight, you shall attend the seance at the Turner Mansion.
A seance? Oh, George, there's nothing I like better than an evening cavorting with the spirit world.
Okay, Brooksy, we'll give it a whirl. I never saw a ghost yet who didn't scream when it was pinched.
There's Madame Margot's place, George, 214.
Yep, I'll pull up in front.
Well, one thing I'll say for George, she's not squeamish about operating in a tough neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Well, looks all very proper, Brooksy, even to the neat little sign on a window. Madame Margot, clairvoyant and mentalist, seances by appointment. Okay, let's go.
Well, ring the bell, George.
Oh, that's a very good idea.
Oh, great. Listen to that local color, will you?
In a joint like this, I'll settle for nothing less than a swami.
Yeah.
You have been expected. Please enter, sahib.
Sahib?
This way, if you please. Madame Margot offers herself to meditation. However, she will receive you shortly.
Straighten your turban, George. Do you mind if we sit down, Mr.
Hasim. Upon this level, that is the name by which I am known. Please be seated.
Yes, thanks.
And now Hasim will leave you. Seek to attune yourself to the vibration of the sphere.
Oh, sure. We'll do just that, Hasim.
Well, there's your Swami, George. Wonder what bottle he floated out of.
I'll bet when that towel around his head is unwrapped, it reads Oasis Motel.
Hey, this Madame Margot must do all right. Look at the jade vases, carved teeth. Look at this rug.
Oh, Brooksy, for a candy bar in North Africa during the war, I could have filled a barracks bag with this junk.
Junk? Why, some of these things are priceless,
George.
Bargain
basement gadgets, Brooksy, part of a pitch.
Well, I don't want to argue with you, but
Look, Claire, I haven't heard of a setup like this yet that wasn't phony. A shrewd operator in a bathrobe and a crystal ball can make a fortune feeding customers the things they want to hear.
Yes, but this Madame Margot is supposed to be uncanny. Yeah. Anyway, that's what Mr. Dressler seems to think.
Well, I don't know what her act is, Brooksy, but I'm making book that Margot's got a huge investment in trapdoors and mirrors. And one of these days, she's going to trip over her own ectoplasm.
George, huh?
I know, of course, that Mr. Gilbert Dressler sent you to me. He gave no reason for the arrangement except that you were his friend.
Oh, well, Mr. Dressler just likes to be mysterious. I understand that 10 years on the desert can do that to a person.
He is obsessed with the idea that I bring harm to Gabrielle Turner. He is a stupid man.
Yeah. Well, what about this crystal ball here? What can it tell you about me?
Very well. Seek yourself in the past and the future. Margot will seek with you. Believe Margot, and the dimness in the crystal will be swept away and will become as a sudden burst of light, revealing all. Even now the shadow's clear. The image asserts itself. There has been violence and terror in your life.
Well, I can't say you're wrong about that.
As if many men had come together to do you harm in a vastness too great for the eye to scan.
A vastness?
In a desert, perhaps. Many men and many machines. Yes, it is a desert. And you are wearing a uniform.
George, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me where this desert is? In what country?
It is plain. Should it startle you that I know? To Margot, the crystal has no secret. It is the Sahara.
North Africa, huh?
Of course, Mr. Valentine. What made you ask that?
Oh, come off it, kiddo. How gullible do you expect one man to be?
What are you talking about, Mr. Valentine?
Madame Margot, if you get paid for this sort of thing, I'm going out and rent a sarong and a Turkish towel. That's all I need for an easy life. That and a detective phone with a hidden mic.
Get out of here.
Now, wait a minute. I've got a couple of other things that I will...
Get out of here! Hassim!
Why don't you let that poor guy alone, Margot? Making him stand behind those drapes all this time?
Perhaps one day you will laugh yourself to death on your poor humor, Mr. Valentine.
George, he's got a gun.
Don't worry, Brooksy. Madame Margot can't afford to get rough. This kind of melodrama sometimes leads to scandal. That wouldn't be good business for her.
He wearies me with his glibness, Hassim.
You should have kept looking in your crystal ball, Margot. Then you could have warned your number one boy. Always keep that gun close to his side.
You fool.
Let's get out of here, Brooksy.
Okay, George.
You will regret this.
Oh, look, honey, don't go dramatic on me. Save those pear-shaped tones for Gabrielle Turner.
I don't understand, George. How did she know you were in North Africa?
Because she had us tuned in with her little detective phone before she came into the room.
Oh.
Brooksy, when I was telling you about it, I lied to you purposely. I saw North Africa once from an airplane 10,000 feet up at nighttime.
Well, now that we know that Margot reads past, presents, and futures by direct wire, what are we going to do?
Have dinner, Brooksy.
Oh, fine.
And we've got a date with a few assorted ghosts.
Oh, fine.
But how about the rest of these people here, Mr. Dressler? Are they friends of the family, too?
A cult of vultures, Mr. Valentine. Parasites of the late Maddie Turner, whose interest in spiritualism is heightened by the free champagne served before every seance. Oh, Gabrielle. Gabrielle, my dear. This is Mr. Valentine and Miss Brooks.
How do you do?
How do you do? I suppose you're welcome here, both of you. Even though you've come to sneer at us.
Oh, I wouldn't put it that way, Gabrielle. We're just here to take a look.
There have been scoffers before. Please understand that you've been invited only because Gilbert insisted upon it.
Gabrielle!
Oh, Oh, there you are. Have you explained to Gilbert's guests how stupid they are?
Hey, where do you get all your information, lady?
I am Gabrielle's aunt, young lady, Vida Patterson.
Oh.
I happen to concern myself with the caliber of people with whom Gabrielle is forced to associate.
What makes you think Miss Brooks is a bad influence, Miss Patterson?
Oh, Gabrielle is emotionally high-strung. People like you, people from the outside, upset her.
Ah, from the outside?
My dear, the rest of the party is going into the sanctuary. Madame Margot is waiting.
Oh, George, not again.
Yep. Let's give the old gal another rumble.
Hey, George. The hair on the back of my neck is going to look funny with my permanent. This thing is scary.
Yeah, with all the trimmings. This sanctuary is a great backdrop for Dracula. Candlelight and polka music for a vampire.
Have the courtesy to be quiet. Nothing must disturb Madame Margot while she reaches her control.
Control? What's that?
A voice, Miss Brooks. Margot's link with the spirit world. You'll see, it's very weird. The voice with which Margot speaks will not be her voice at all.
Oh, Gilbert, why did you bring these people here?
Hush, child, hush.
There are alien presences here. Contact has been difficult. But there is a message to one who has traveled from a far place to be here.
George.
Listen. Listen.
So many years, so much time. Gilbert, listen to me, Gilbert.
It's Janice. This is impossible.
Please listen to me, Gilbert.
Janice, what are you doing here? I thought you ran off to Cairo with Cecil.
Rid yourself of those who would bring harm to Margot. They are evil. Remember, Gilbert, I've always known what's best for you, my dear.
You haven't changed a bit, have you, Janice? Always showing up at the wrong time and knowing what's best. Janice, go away.
Get rid of them. Get rid of those who do us harm.
You never told me about her, Gilbert. You never mentioned a girl named Janice.
She was always interfering. Always. I hardly expected her to pop up again, my dear.
There is another message here. From one who has newly passed over. She is suffering greatly.
Oh, no.
She has been murdered. Shot. She suffers from the anguish of knowing her murder.
Oh, no. I couldn't help it. I couldn't. Gabrielle, what is it, child?
Her murderer has not been avenged. There is blood on the hands of one who has shed it. Listen. She is trying.
Stop it! Make her leave me alone! I killed her! Of course I killed her! Leave me alone, all of you!
Oh, George,
I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Yeah, this time, Brooksy, the spirits have the right word for it. Murder.
We'll return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine in just a moment. Meanwhile, a word about problems, major and minor. You know, a ring that refuses to come off a finger may seem like a major problem, but usually a bit of soap and water does the trick. Stuck rings in an automobile engine would be something else again, and could be very costly, in fact. But today, compounded RPM motor oil keeps the danger of stuck piston rings at just about zero. Even more important, the added compounds in RPM put a stop to the biggest bugaboo of engine wear, internal rust. They also prevent crankcase foaming and stop the formation of gum and lacquer in your car's engine. And a cleaner engine system means extra life for your car. Add up all these advantages of RPM motor oil, and it's easy to see why motorists choose RPM 2-to-1 over any other motor oil in the West. Try this premium quality motor oil tomorrow. Get RPM at standard stations and independent Chevron gas stations where they say and mean we'll take better care of your car. And now back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. Well, there's an old saying that murder will out, but when it comes pointing its finger from the spirit world, then George finds himself tangled in one of the strangest cases he's ever come across.
And at the precinct house the day after the seance, Lieutenant Riley puts it this way.
Valentine, ever since I heard that girl confess to murder while she was talking to a ghost, I've just been breathless waiting for you to drop around.
Yeah, it's a weirdie, isn't it, Lieutenant?
Well, maybe your boys just didn't feel like being clever the day Mrs. Turner was murdered. Is that why you called it a hunting accident?
Now, look, Miss Brooks, I'm not perfect like your boyfriend Valentine.
And I'd be the first one to admit that. Yeah. But as a matter of fact, I personally contribute to the support of you guys, a little thing called taxes. I'm just perfect enough to want a little action for my money.
Valentine, 3 months ago, we were called in by Vida Patterson to investigate the death of her sister, Maddie Turner. We called it an accident because that's the way the setup looked. Because there wasn't any reason to call it murder.
Well, whatever happened to that suspicious nature of yours, Lieutenant?
Yeah. A prominent society woman is found dead, shot. A woman who surrounds herself with a house full of sponging friends. Don't you remember what your correspondence course says about a situation like that, Lieutenant?
Look. When a person is found dead with her finger on the trigger, we consider the reports of ballistics, medical examiner, and a dozen other experts. Then we fumbling police arrive at certain conclusions. In the death of Mrs. Turner, that conclusion was accidental death.
Hear, hear.
Bravo, Lieutenant. But how could so many people fumble about the same thing?
Does
that confession mean that Gabrielle is going to stand trial for murder, Lieutenant?
Well, I doubt it. In that household of crazy people, she's the squirreliest of the lot. Unless her aunt, Mrs. Patterson, isn't just a little bit ahead of her.
Then Gabrielle will be committed to an institution.
Yep. She's home now under the care of a physician and under police guard. She can't even remember confessing, much less how or why she killed anybody.
Uh-huh. You wouldn't mind if Claire and I dropped in on the Turner family, would you, Lieutenant?
Sure. Go ahead. You'll be in good company. But take my advice and hide when the wagon comes. Those young interns sometimes have trouble figuring who fits the straitjacket.
Lieutenant, I secretly love all men who say nice things like that.
Oh, it's you two. I'm beginning to hope that I'd only hired you in a dream.
Look, Gilbert, let's both get real grown up and face facts. You really did hire me, and we're both stuck.
I'm not in the habit of paying people who bungle their jobs. It must be quite obvious that I don't need your alleged services any longer.
But we haven't finished our job, Mr. Dressler.
So if you will return my fee, which you have not earned...
Oh, what? Yeah. Well, let's chat, Gilbert. Mind if we come inside?
I certainly do.
Thanks a lot. Close the door, Brooksy. Now, look, Gilbert, you hired me to do a job. I'm not backing out of it. Why should you?
You admit you failed, don't you?
You don't have much room to talk, Mr. Dressler. Who was that Janice you were talking to last night?
Janice is dead. She died nearly 10 years ago.
10 years? Then how did she have...
I dislike to say it, but even I am now convinced that Margot is not a fraud. How could she have known about Janice?
Oh, it's very simple. You blurted out Janice's name as soon as Margot began to broaden her age.
Yeah, it's a good thing Margot didn't drop her H's, Mr. Dressler. You might have come up with the name of some little barmaid in Soho.
You're not very amusing, young lady.
Now, what about Gabrielle? Where is she?
They've taken her away, Mr. Valentine. Poor girl. I was deeply attached to her.
Uh-huh. I'll bet her aunt is overcome, too.
Vida Patterson is a remarkable woman. She buries her sorrow in her books.
Books. Ledgers would be a better word. Where is she?
In the library. She explicitly informed me that she wishes to grieve.
Well, now, that's very touching. Come on, Claire.
What is it, Gilbert? I told you I wanted no interruptions unless it's absolutely necessary.
It's absolutely necessary.
Oh, it's the intruders again.
Yes, I hate to take you away from your tears, Miss Patterson, but there are a few questions I want to ask you.
And by what right? You're not the police?
Oh, this won't take long. Just a moment of your lonely time and you can go right back to eating your heart out.
What is it you want?
I want to know a little bit more about the murder of Maddie Turner. It was murder, wasn't it?
Oh, imagine the ingratitude of the child. Killing my poor sister after all the wonderful things we've done for her.
Oh, yes, yes. She was so overcome by those wonderful things, she can't even remember killing your sister.
Oh, Gabrielle has lapses of memory. An unfortunate trait which she inherited from her father's side of the family.
Oh, well, this wealth you were talking about, what happens to that?
Oh, how could you mention money at a time like this?
Well, let's mention it anyhow. Who gets it?
Well, of course, Gabrielle inherited the mother's estate, and now that she will be declared insane, why, I suppose I... Well, I don't know. I've never given it a thought.
No, I'll just bet you haven't. Well, thanks a lot, Miss Patterson. I just know it'll kill you every time you spend a penny of all those thousands of dollars.
Get out of here!
Miss Patterson doesn't like us, George.
Yeah, we've got crazy ideas, Brooksy. All right, come on. Let's go see whether one of them will pay off.
What makes people like that, George?
If you're talking about the zanies who wander in and out of the Turner Mansion, the answer is money. From here, that's the only way their act makes sense.
Well, I don't want to crowd you with funnies, George, but there's Hassim again.
Huh?
Yeah, he's planted up ahead there. The corner of the house this time.
How do you like that?
See him in the shadow?
Yeah. Let's find out what he's got on his mind.
Still looks sinister, even in a pinstripe suit.
Yeah. Well, Hassim, doing a little snooping on your own?
You go to great lengths to involve yourself in difficulty, my rash friend.
Brace yourself, Hassim. You're no friend of mine.
Furthermore, you are in our way.
Georgie's still got that gun.
Watch it, Brooksy! All right, pick up the gun quick.
Yeah, George. Here you are.
Yeah, you shouldn't carry such things around after dark, Hassim. And so it doesn't accidentally go off and hurt somebody, I'll just take out the clip. And the extra bullet in the chamber.
You will be sorry you did this.
There you are. Take your plaything. I'll keep the bullets. Now, why did Madame Margot send you here?
I know nothing.
You're so right. Okay, take off, Nature Boy. Beat it. I'm tired of playing patty cake with people out of storybooks. You know what? It adds up, Claire. It really does.
It does?
Huh? Brooksy, I want you to get down to headquarters as soon as possible. Tell Lieutenant Riley to get that whole crew together, all those pixies who were at the seance last night.
Including the spirits, George?
Including Gabriel Turner. Tell the lieutenant to bring them all back to the sanctuary.
But why?
If there really was a murder, Brooksy, I won't be able to live with myself until I find out the reason for it. Right now, I've got a date with a crystal ball. And maybe I'll get a preview. Margot, in the jargon of the street, your chances aren't worth a dime.
Stop speaking in riddles, Mr. Valentine. What's on your mind?
You are, Margot. Madam accessory after the fact, Margot. The fact being murder.
If I were acquainted with your brand of humor, perhaps I would be amused.
I doubt it. Look, you're worried, honey. That's why you tagged that small-time Svengali on me. You can be sent to jail for years and years, and that's really something to worry about.
What are you trying to say?
Well, I hate to sully those shell-like ears of yours with nasty words, Margot, but just take my advice and be my buddy for the next few hours.
Why do you speak to me like this? As if I'm...
As if you're a phony, and you are. You can throw your voice pretty well, but last night you threw it a little too far.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to finish that seance you started. It never did get done.
But for what reason?
So you can turn state's evidence. Now, a clever girl like you can appreciate a good twist.
I think I understand.
Yes, I think you do. So let's not keep the cult waiting, Margot. Besides, Lieutenant Riley is a very impatient man.
Valentine, if you can figure out how this girl murdered Maddie Turner by asking Maddie Turner how she did it, I'm going to turn in my badge, buy a turban and a crystal ball, and apprehend criminals while I sit in my easy chair.
Just stick around, Lieutenant. This Margot will give you a lesson you'll never forget.
You know, that's the wonderful thing about being a police lieutenant. Every amateur I meet wants to give me lessons.
But Margot's no amateur. All these people think she's the greatest thing that ever happened to them. They believe whatever Margot says.
Valentine, haven't you been the cause of enough suffering for poor Miss Patterson? I feel it is my obligation to defend her against your ill manners.
Yes, and I demand to know by what authority you have entered my house. Why have you brought Gabrielle here? I'll have the law.
You already have it. Lieutenant, this is Miss Patterson. She lives here.
You got troubles, Miss Patterson?
No, it's just that it's Gabrielle.
Gabrielle's okay. She's in the sanctuary with the doctor. I wouldn't worry about her.
Maybe we'd better go in. Margot's had plenty of time to get wound up.
Okay.
Hello, Gabrielle. How do you feel?
I don't understand. This all happened before. Long ago. A very long time ago.
Yes, now you're all right. Just take it easy.
I really didn't mean to. I didn't hate my mother, you know.
Just sit tight, Gabrielle. And whatever happens, don't say anything. You understand? Don't say anything.
Of course. Of course, I understand. I killed her, but I didn't mean to.
Tonight, for the last time, we seek to journey together into a strange land. A strange land where familiar faces and forgotten dreams dwell without perishing. Already the vapors which cloud our way are cleared. There is someone here who is trying to get through. She wishes to speak.
Is this why you dragged me here, Valentine? I know a ventriloquist when I hear one.
You know a lot more than the rest of these people. Just get this picture.
Someone she loves has been grievously wrong. There is so much that stands in her way of happiness here. She wishes to speak to us. She says an injustice has been done. The way is clear. Peace.
Stop her. Peace. Can't you see this is a fraud? You don't know what you're doing. Send her back.
Listen.
You're breaking up the party, Miss Patterson. Why don't you relax?
Have they harmed you, Gabrielle?
Maddie.
And you, Vida. All that blood.
Oh.
Your sister's blood. Mine. Murder.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Please, please.
Murder. You watch me die. Oh. Death becomes you, my sister.
Oh, send her back. Oh, let's stop it. I killed her.
I'll take over from here, Valentine.
Well, how about that, Brooksy? A killer trapped by a ghost. Only there wasn't any ghost.
George, if I've got to say it, and I've got to say it,
huh?
You're a genius.
Oh, that's okay, Brooksy. You can say it. But all I had to know was that Margot was a phony, and Vida Patterson thought Margot was always on the level. Except once, that is.
Astound me, genius. What do you mean, except once?
Vida paid Margot to produce Maddie Turner and frighten Gabrielle into confessing.
Why should Gabrielle confess to a murder she didn't do?
Brooksy, there's a lot of evil people in this world. Vida Patterson is one of them. She knew her niece had a memory blank the night of the murder. So all this time, she's been making Gabrielle believe that she killed her own mother.
So all you did was make Margot produce Maddie Turner again.
Yep, only this time Maddie smoked. When Vida heard an imitation of her sister's voice, she thought it was the real thing. It was too much for her.
Oh, well, there's just one thing I still don't understand, George. What happened when you went back to see Margot?
Oh, she read my palm. Yeah, she said I had a wonderful heart line.
Oh?
Margot looked at my hand and said I was a lover.
Oh, well, I got a pretty good heart line myself.
Yeah?
Look at it, George.
Yeah.
You know what I think, George?
No, tell me what you think.
Well, I think we ought to get our heart lines crossed and see what happens.
And now, a word of importance to motorists. Maybe you've run into the kind of motorist who always says, grease is grease, and it doesn't matter where you take your car for lubrication service. Well, don't you believe him. At independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations, they use many specialized grades of RPM greases and oils to give your car a thorough lubrication. And each one is tailor-made to do a wear-saving job at some vital wear point on your car. The regular 1,000-mile grease job at these stations is done by trained experts. They follow a lube chart approved by the manufacturer of your car. And they take pride in doing a spick-and-span clean job for you. Next time your car is due for lubrication service, rely on the standard station or the independent Chevron gas station where they say, and mean, we'll take better care of your car. Next week, when you tune our way for another adventure of George Valentine, you'll hear...
Hey, Brooksy, tell me something.
Yes, George?
How would you like to play Cigarette Girl at the Kit Kat Club tomorrow night?
You mean in one of those fluffy short skirts and long black stockings?
Yeah, the works.
Yeah, but what are you talking about, George?
We're going to stage a little drama, Brooksy, with a cast of two. A Carnation and Art Gary. And I have a hunch the Carnation will be the star of the show.
Tonight's Adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West. Let George Do It stars Robert Bailey as George with Frances Robinson as Claire. Wally Mayer appears as Lieutenant Riley. Tonight's story was written by Morton Fine and directed by Don Clark. Also heard in the cast were Don Morrison as Gilbert, Irene Tedrow as Margot, Sarah Selby as Vida, Gene Bates as Gabrielle, and Lal Chan Mehra as Hasim. The music is composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to
Let George do it. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
That's Case Closed for this week. There's more from Sam Spade, Let George Do It, Case Closed. All of the other Relic Radio podcasts and our Shoutcast stream all at the website, relicradio.com. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, you can donate through the website as well or visit donate.relicradio.com. You're how all of this comes together every week. Thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this time. Be back next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.